Hi on the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're looking at one great big war, and there are theaters within the war. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea are the adversaries, the axis. The other side, we have Ukraine, we have Israel, and we have its partners in NATO and the EU. And we have battlefronts, theaters, and we're turning to the Ukrainian theater because over these last hours, there have been reports from both sides about the success of their air war, an unusual kind of air war. The Ukrainians showing video in London of a drone attack on a Russian arsenal, a spectacular explosion in the middle of the night. At the same time, still photos of a Russian glide bomb coming in dozens of at a time. Glide bomb is a bomb that's got wings rebuilt by the Russian forces. So they're trading salvos at each other, not with artillery rounds, but with drones and rebuilt bombs, turning them into glide bombs. So the question is, how are they doing? Because this is not the front line. This is not the ground war. We'll get to that. John, a very good day to you. Help me please understand whether this air war by the Ukrainians against arsenals or the air war by the Russians against infrastructure or city. Is this advancing either case, or is either side winning this odd exchange? Good day to you, John.
Hey, John. Hey, Bill. Great to be back on the show. Yeah, over the weekend, we had some significant headlines with Ukraine striking using indigenously produced long-range one-way attack drones, or commonly known as kamikaze drones, attacking several large ammunition depots deep within Russia, so hundreds of kilometers behind the front lines. Very massive explosions. You can see the videos on social media. We don't know exactly how much ammunition was destroyed, or even exactly what was there. There are, you know, claims put out by Ukrainian intelligence or other sources. But the bottom line is, you know, a significant amount of ammunition destroyed. It will complicate Russian logistics. Exactly how much remains to be seen. But it was a coup for Ukraine, especially striking, like I said, three depots in quick succession. For the Russians, you know, you mentioned a glide bomb strike that made headlines in the city of Kharkiv, Russia striking some apartment buildings. This is really something they've been doing since en masse since January 2023, when they introduced what they call the UMPK. It's a kit not unlike the U.S.-made JDAM, or especially the extended range version of the JDAM. Basically, it's a wing kit that you strap onto a dumb bomb, and it allows it to glide maybe 70 or so kilometers with a measure of precision. So the Russians use these to pound Ukrainian positions and towns and what have you, and it is a big problem for Ukraine.
Is it successful? Are the Russians finding that they're destroying targets in some new fashion, that as opposed to the artillery destruction?
It has been a big, important benefit for Russia. It's compounded their advantage in artillery ammunition and other fires. It allows Russia to strike, especially some bigger targets, things that are static, like, say, a command post or what have you, a little bit deeper behind the front lines. And they're very psychologically impactful. So when you have large caliber artillery is psychologically impactful. Imagine an even larger bomb landing on your position, near your position. If it doesn't kill you, it's going to definitely leave an imprint in your mind. And so, you know, Ukrainian soldiers routinely cite glide bombs as one of their chief threats, and it's a major problem that Kyiv is trying to address. It's one reason why Kyiv has asked the West for permission to use Western-provided missiles to strike within Russia, the idea being they hit the air bases from which Russian Su-34 strike fighters launched these bombs. Unfortunately, in recent months, the Russians have relocated many of those warplanes beyond the range of those missiles. But the West has kind of missed the moment there. But, you know, and there are other means that Ukraine tries to use to counter these weapons. One is kind of what's known as the sambush, basically moving a Patriot battery near the front line to kind of catch a Russian warplane off guard and shoot it down. The Ukrainians have done this on several occasions, but it is risky. So kind of killing the archer rather than shooting down the arrow tends to be the preferred approach.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes, John. With Ukraine's strikes into Russia, they've hit ammunition dumps and they've hit air bases at times. Have we seen any appreciable effect from these operations?
Yeah, so I'd say if you go back to summer of 2022, when the Ukrainians received HIMARS and M270 MLRS and the Gimlers rockets that they fired in range maybe 80 or so kilometers unclassified, that did have an effect on Russia's ability to mass artillery. The Ukrainians took out a really large number of artillery ammunition depots inside occupied Ukrainian territory. And so that, along with just Russia's reduced supply of artillery ammunition after launching, you know, eye-watering amounts of artillery ammunition over that preceding summer campaign, it did force the Russians to adapt. And I think now they have a harder time massing artillery fire. Although they, at this point, they got a little bit better at intercepting Gimlers. They have adapted in kind of dispersing their ammo depots. And in other ways as well, and moving them back. So the Russians adapt, but it does have a persistent effect, I think, on their ability to mass artillery fire.
Where are the F-16s, John? Are they being used?
So Ukraine has received a small number of F-16s provided by its Western partners with support from the United States. Right now, they seem to be using them mostly in an air defense role, so shooting down cruise missiles, Shahed, kamikaze drones, what have you. We could eventually see them kind of expand the mission set, say to include launching glide bombs or other standoff munitions at Russian positions.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes. To follow up, John, the Russians, and we'll get to the ground operations, the Russians have been gaining ground even as the Ukrainians are launching deep strikes. It seems to me that are the Ukrainians misallocating their resources? Would they be better served to use those weapon systems in the actual combat theater than striking a remote weapons depot north of Moscow?
So for the drones that Ukraine produces itself, this is an ideal use for them. That, along with striking critical infrastructure, has been another goal. I think that the question's still out on whether that was successful, but striking depots is a perfect mission for them, and so it's great to see them have success with that. I think if you look at Ukraine's use of its Western provided missiles, for example, the TACMs that Ukraine's been using to strike Russian air defense systems in Crimea and elsewhere in occupied Ukrainian territory, one can debate on whether that's a great use for the missiles, given that Ukraine doesn't really have any prospect of launching a ground offensive in southern Ukraine or anywhere along the front lines. And so there's not a broader objective to tie that strike campaign into. So I think that's a fair question to ask of whether those resources should be husbanded for next year, or in case Ukraine is able to launch another strategic offensive, it could use those long-range assets to support it. I think that question gains even more importance, given that, with uncertainty surrounding the election, we don't know the level of future U.S. support. So I think Ukraine does need to husband its assets, given the uncertainty on the horizon.
Let's go to the ground war. We're speaking with John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. My colleague and co-host is Bill Raggio of FDD. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.